Chapter 23. Matted black hair hung over Callista's face, and she was lathered in sweat as she pushed herself through a grueling set of push-ups on the floor of her stinking cell. She heard the squeal of hinges as the gate down the corridor swung open, as well as the clank of armored footsteps approaching, but she did not look up. Nor did she pause when the footsteps stopped just outside her cell. She assumed it was one of her jailers. She slowly lowered herself to the floor, breathing in steadily, before explosively pressing back up with a sharp exhalation. Jagged stone dug into her knuckles, but she pushed on. She stopped only once she had counted 200 repetitions. At last, she sank to her knees and then rose to her feet, facing away from the cell door, making whoever it was wait. She wore a rough sackcloth gown, and she was filthy. Her hands and feet were blackened with dirt and grime, and her stomach growled like an angry bear. Still breathing heavily from exertion, she brushed her knotted hair from her face and took a sip of dirty water from a chipped ceramic cup, almost gagging on its foulness. Only once she had placed the cup back down did she turn to look upon her visitor. Hecarim stood on the other side of the bars, a look of pity and anguish on his face. His armor was dented and his dark gray tabard was torn and covered in road dust. He looked weary. He had a new scar on his face, cutting from the center of his forehead through one eyebrow and onto his cheek. His wavy dark hair was longer and unwashed, and he sported an unruly beard. Yet even so, he seemed completely out of place in the wretchedness of their surroundings.
"You've been in here for weeks. This is insanity. M'lady, are you well?"
Callista held herself tall, trying to maintain some dignity.
"I am as you see me, my lord."
"He cannot keep you locked up down here. It is madness."
"The whole kingdom has descended into madness."
She tilted her head to one side and looked at Hecarim squarely.
"And was your rampage against our allies a success? It seems someone almost took your eye."
Hecarim sighed and looked down.
"You think it is dishonorable that I led the attack to the east. I understand."
"Am I wrong?"
Hecarim did not answer. Instead, he dragged a chair over to her cell bars and sank down upon it with a weary grunt. Callista remained standing, her back straight.
"I wish I had remained here. Things hadn't deteriorated quite so much before I left. There certainly wasn't open warfare in the streets."
"So why did you leave?"
"Viego insisted. But his reasons were not completely flawed. Word spread fast of the assassination attempt, and not striking back against someone was making us look weak in the eyes of our enemies and our allies. There have been increased raids against our southern borders, and several vassal provinces have collapsed into rebellion. We had to make a show of force."
"But the High Lords of Port Takan were our allies. They had nothing to gain from assassinating Viego."
Callista snapped, pacing back and forth within her cell. Hecarim raised a warding hand.
"It doesn't matter if they were behind it or not. The king believed it was them, and so we had to act. After Siodona told him of his suspicions, there was no reasoning with Viego. My hand was forced."
Callista ceased pacing and looked down at Hecarim in distaste.
"You've always wanted to take Port Takan."
"I have. But not like this. They've been courted by Camivore and our enemies for decades now, and have gotten rich playing both sides. I have long believed they should be brought into the kingdom, and that doing so would strengthen Camivore."
"And fill the purse of the Iron Order. But you didn't just subdue Takan. I understand you struck farther east, leaving the port city burning. The ancestors alone know what other allies you've waged war upon in the meantime."
Only those who have already turned away from us, those with strong ties to Port Takan. I decided to crush them now, rather than have them gather their forces and march on our borders.
It was harsh and callous, but Callista could see the cold logic in it. The fortified towns and realms east of Port Takan were all in the pocket of the High Lords. With the port city in ruin, they would be likely to sever their ties to Camivore.
And I am sure you are aware of the financial situation. Viego has drained the kingdom's coffers. Our enemies have grown rich off his foolishness. There is no coin to pay our soldiers, no coin to buy grain to feed our starving people. In crushing Takan and eastern regions, I have given us a small reprieve.
And where is that wealth? Safe? In the Iron Keep?
Better there than giving it to Viego to throw away.
Hecarim scowled, standing up from his chair.
I have no intention of profiting from this miserable situation. I have already sent for grain shipments, and have ensured that your warriors of the host have received the wages they are owed. We could not risk them abandoning their posts, not when they are needed most.
The host is loyal to the end. There are no deserters in their ranks.
Desperate soldiers do desperate things, but I did not come here to argue with you,
said Hecarim, shrugging.
Then why have you come?
You are my betrothed,
Hecarim said, coming close to the bars that separated them. His expression was earnest.
I wanted to see you, to ensure that you were being well treated. I rode here as soon as I received word of your return. When I heard Viego had imprisoned you, I had pictured him locking you in your chambers. I had not imagined that his madness would see him throw you into the dungeon after all you have done for him. It is intolerable.
What have I done?
Said Callista, sitting down on the low stone shelf that served as her bed. She had tried to hold her despair at bay during these weeks of imprisonment, but it threatened to overwhelm her now. She felt so tired.
I abandoned the kingdom in a time of crisis, and for nothing. I should have been here.
But you found them.
Hecarim leaned closer.
The Blessed Isles, they're actually real.
They're real, but it doesn't matter. It's too late. Isolde should have been entombed in the crypt before I ever set foot in Helia.
Was it everything the stories say?
Callista looked up sharply, eyes narrowed. There was something in Hecarim's voice that made her on edge, a hunger she had not noticed before.
It doesn't matter. I went to save the queen. I failed.
Hecarim leaned back, his expression full of regret and sadness. Callista wondered if she had imagined the eagerness she'd sensed in him. She was weak with hunger and had been sleeping only fitfully, muddling her wits.
You did all you could. The king owes you a debt of thanks. He'd be dead if it wasn't for you.
Do not think too harshly of him. Isolde was the best thing to happen to him, and her loss clearly broke something in him. But he will recover. He is a good man. He just needs to find his way out of the darkness.
Hecarim smiled.
He's left you down here to rot, and yet you defend him still.
He is my family. He is all I have.
You are as compassionate as you are fierce. I understand why the host is so loyal to you.
He turned to leave.
I will speak with the king. On my honor, I will convince him to release you.
Callista remained deep in thought, her brow furrowed, long after he had left. Outskirts of Helia, the Blessed Isles. Rise sat cross-legged in a grassy glade, engrossed in the leather-bound tome in his hands. Dappled sunlight played across the yellowed pages as the breeze made the trees sway gently above. He was just outside Helia, away from the prying eyes of his master, but he was not alone. The sentinel artificer, Jendakaya, lay on her back in the grass a little way off, her eyes closed. Rise enjoyed her company, and with the Camavoran princess Callista gone, there was no one else to speak to about the apparition that had followed him. Jendakaya had no more understanding of what it was than he did, but it felt good just to talk to someone who had shared that experience, and having her relic weapons near gave him a measure of comfort. There had been more than one spirit haunting the Well of Ages, after all. A butterfly landed on the page Rise was reading. It slowly opened and closed its iridescent wings, antennae waving. He moved his finger underneath it, and it clung to him. He lifted it up and gently blew upon it. It took to the air, bobbing lazily, and Rise returned to his reading, forefinger tracing the ancient cuneiform. Open on the ground beside him were two other books, which he was using to help him decipher some of the trickier phrases. Tyrus had been supportive of his sudden interest in the dead languages of Akathia and had given him those rare tomes to deepen his understanding. Over the last weeks, Rise had quietly dedicated himself to his studies. He completed the lessons and exercises assigned to him by Tyrus, while in private he learned all he could from this leather-bound volume of arcane runic magic. The horrific memory of the apparition coming after him still lingered, and he found that the best way to occupy his mind was to engross himself in his work. Tyrus was puzzled by his sudden change in behavior, but the Seeker did not question him about it, nor did he ask about why he spent time with the artificer.
It's good to expose yourself to other forms of scholarship. I'm sure she's a fine mentor,
was all he'd said. Rise glanced over at her, dozing in the grass, and grinned. He wasn't sure his master would approve of her methods. Nevertheless, Tyrus seemed pleased that Rise was finally taking his apprenticeship seriously. In truth, he was enjoying his studies now, something he'd never really felt previously. And besides, with the book he'd gotten from Grail, he was finally beginning to gain some control over his power. That precious tome was not the work of a singular author, but the combined experience of a dozen rune mages living centuries apart. There was so much more that could be achieved with mastery over runic forms than he had ever imagined. He'd barely scratched the surface. While he had been able to draw power into himself in the past, he hadn't known enough of runic magic to effectively use it. Despite what others might believe, he wasn't so arrogant to think he was anywhere near mastering this art, but he did have a better grasp on what he did know, and perhaps more importantly, what he did not. Rise reread one particular passage, lips moving as he formed the ancient words, pondering them. He then set the book aside and stood, centering himself, closing his eyes and taking a deep breath. He ran through the mental focusing exercise Tyrus had taught him. Then he took in another breath, only this time it was not just air that he breathed in. It was the raw stuff of magic. He didn't pull in too much, though it took some effort to stem the floodgates. Even the small amount he allowed in roared through his veins like molten fire. Opening his eyes, he saw the magical energy glowing within him, revealing itself through his skin in a series of runes. Rise smiled, exhilarated. The power did not overwhelm him. It was his to direct as he saw fit. His eyes leaking arcane vapor, he turned his gaze toward a boulder. The energy in him roiled. It wanted to be released. Still, he did not give in to it. Breathing steadily, his lean muscles tense, Rise traced a runic shape in the air. To complete the pattern, he stepped forward, thrusting both hands out, fists clenched. The air wavered around his knuckles and a burst of pale blue energy surged forward, leaving flickering intricate runes in its wake. It struck the boulder with a resounding crack, and etheric light rippled across its surface, dancing like lightning. Ryze relaxed his arms and the blazing glyphs within his flesh dimmed. He walked over to inspect the boulder and whistled through his teeth as he saw that it was neatly split down its center. Ribbons of acrid smoke rose from the two halves. They were cool to the touch, however, and his fingers tingled with the last vestiges of runic power as he ran them along the smooth, pale stone.
I was trying to sleep.
Ryze glanced over at the artificer, who still lay with her eyes closed.
I thought you said you had some problems with your latest creation that needed to be worked out.
Sleep is good for working out tricky problems.
She sighed, reluctantly opened her eyes, and pushed herself up to a sitting position. She squinted at the sundered boulder.
You did that?
Ryze puffed his chest out.
I did. Didn't even need one of your fancy relic weapons, either.
The artificer sniffed.
That's a start. Now, show me what else you can do.
Alovedra, Chemivore. Callista was washed and dressed in a clean shift when next Hecarim appeared outside her cell 2 days after his last visit. Earlier that day, a large basin of hot water had been delivered to her by her silent jailers, along with a bar of soap, scented oils, and a hairbrush. They'd brought her clean towels, fresh clothes, and a pair of simple sandals, and replaced her threadbare blanket with 2 new ones of thick wool. She'd also been delivered a veritable feast upon a series of platters. As hungry as she was careful not to gorge on it, knowing she'd only make herself ill, and so she ate sparingly and avoided the richer foods, as enticing as they were.
I trust you are feeling more yourself now, m'lady.
Yes. I suppose I have you to thank for this?
Don't thank me yet. I have not managed to secure your release. But I can at least make you somewhat more comfortable.
I appreciate the effort.
Hecarim leaned close to the bars, his gaze intense.
There is a way I can ensure that you will be released within the hour. Give him what he wants.
Callista turned away.
It will do no good. Isolde is not coming back.
He found the vial of water in your room. He's had it studied, and its healing properties have been proved. But he believes he needs more, far more, in order to save Isolde.
She's dead. She could be submerged in the waters, and it wouldn't matter.
He's still refusing to accept that she is gone. But perhaps he can be shaken out of this grief-induced madness.
How?
We take him to the Blessed Isles.
Callista made to argue, but he raised his hand.
Hear me out. We take him there and see what the masters have to say. I've spoken with priests and the king's physicians, with Nunyo as well. All agree that going there and seeing for himself that nothing can be done for her could bring him the closure he needs. It could dispel this insanity that grips him.
Callista said nothing, furrowing her brow and chewing on her lip.
If we do nothing, we both know Viego will drag the kingdom down with him. Then everyone drowns. There are already vultures circling, waiting to pick Camivore's bones. This might be our only chance. It might be his only chance.
Callista turned away, closing her eyes and pinching the bridge of her nose. The words of her grandfather came back to her as clearly as the day they were uttered.
Promise me you will guide him, counsel him, control him if needed. Protect Camivore.
She was suspicious of Hecarim's motives, but there was sense in his words. If nothing was done, Viego would likely lead Camivore to ruin. Ancestors, it was already well along the way. She recalled also her promise to Isolde to help Viego come to terms with her passing. Was Hecarim right? Was this the only way to shake him out of his delusion that his wife still lived? Guilt and indecision clawed at her.
Just think on it,
said Hecarim, turning to leave.
That's all I ask. Whatever you decide, I will support.
Callista knelt before the Argent Throne like a penitent come to beg her king's forgiveness. It had taken her 2 days to come to her decision. She was dressed in a clean, simple shift. Her armor and weapons had still been denied her. Above her, Viego lounged on the great gleaming throne, his face pallid and drawn, his expression imperious. Sanctity rested upon his lap, and his long, slender hands, encrusted with rings, lay upon its blade like a threat. Ledros stood to attention at his side, as unmoving as a statue, though his eyes revealed his pain in seeing Callista forced to abase herself. One step down from the throne stood Nunyo and Hecarim, the last of the advisors in whom the king had any trust. Both looked tense. Knights of the Iron Order stood around the perimeter of the audience chamber.
You have something to say to me,
said Viego, testing the edge of sanctity with his thumb. Callista resisted the urge to spit a curse and storm from the room. She glanced over at Hecarim, who gave her an almost imperceptible nod.
I will take you there, my lord king. I will guide you to the Blessed Isles.
Viego surged to his feet, dismissing sanctity and smiling broadly.
I knew you would. You have always been my most dependable and beloved friend and ally. You are my older sister in all ways but name, and I love you dearly. You have no idea how much it pained me to treat you as you forced me to do. Yet I knew you would not turn your back on me or my beloved Isolde. Stand. Stand, please.
Callista pushed herself to her feet as Viego snapped his fingers at Nunyo.
We have so much to do. Prepare the ships and a bier to bear my darling love. We must lose no more time. We leave on the evening tide.
I have one request, however.
Anything, anything.
I am concerned the Helians may not take favorably to a Camavoran armada arriving on their shore. They will be terrified, and I worry that I may hamper the Master's willingness to lend their aid to fair Isolde.
Viego nodded, considering. Hecarim's brow had risen in alarm and he was mouthing something to Callista over Viego's shoulder, but she continued on.
I suggest a single ship and an honor guard, chosen from the best soldiers within the host. I will handpick them myself.
The king trusts the Iron Order above all others. We are the finest fighting force in Camavor. No one can protect him better.
Those are my conditions, Viego. The Iron Order does not come with us.
This is outrageous. My lord, think of the queen. Who would you have guard her? Your finest knights or low-born rabble?
It will be as you suggest, Carl,
said Viego, ignoring Hecarim's entreaty.
One ship and the host as my honor guard.
My lord.
Hecarim growled, his face now an ugly shade of red.
I have made up my mind.
Hecarim glared balefully at Callista, then turned and strode from the room.
Now, let us prepare.
Viego clapped his hands.
We sail for the Blessed Isles.